ICQ, the who knows what net, I guess is what we're going to call it. This is W9KD, John in Noblesville, and joining us here this evening will also be Chris. What is it? W9CZK, isn't that right, Chris?
W9CZK, correctamundo.
Yeah, okay. And this net meets every Thursday night at 8 p.m. through the Hortonville Wires X Fusion repeater on 443.95 analog mode and 77 hertz PL tone. We thank Hamilton County EMA for the use of this repeater. This net's purpose is to promote discussion on various topics in amateur radio, spread awareness of events in the amateur radio community, and to provide a line of communications for all buy-sell trade deals. And tonight's discussion is going to be on digital modes on amateur radio. We'll start with roll call, followed by announcements, club reports, Anyway, we'll skip that one. Then we'll have the discussion topic, and we'll end with sell, swap, and want. Any questions unrelated to tonight's topic should wait to the end of the net when we'll open it up for all other questions. And that would be if somebody's trying to study for an exam upgrade, for example, and there's something about something they don't understand, and they would like to have somebody kind of explain it, or maybe somebody wants opinions on a new radio they're thinking about buying, that sort of thing. We'll start with roll call. Oh, we just did that. Check-ins will be handled in groups starting with suffixes Alpha through Foxtrot, Golf through Lima, Mike through Romeo, and then Sierra through Zulu. Now, this is the first letter after the number in your call sign. So we do this different than the Sunday night net because there's a lot of HF nets and other nets that do it this way, so we just wanted to have the experience of doing it both ways. So, does anyone have any announcements for the net?
9CZK.
W9LBX.
Okay, at W9CZK, N9DAM, and W9LBX. Anyone else with announcements? Okay, any stations with that are on short time? Mobiles, any mobiles? Hey, this is W9KD, net control for the Who Knows What Net, and we'll begin with check-ins. Please respond with your call sign, name, location, and if you have a question on tonight's topic, well, I guess you'll have to wait until you hear the topic or hear the presentation, because that might generate some questions there, I'm sure. Okay, so we'll now take check-ins from stations with suffixes Alpha through Foxtrot.
Whiskey 9, Charlie Z Kilo.
Kilo Delta 9, Bravo Kilo Uniform, Mike Noblesville.
Charlie 9, Alpha Alpha Papa, David Westfield.
Hey, I got W9CZK. Mike, I didn't catch the first letter of your call. Can you say again?
Kilo. Kilo Delta 9, Bravo Kilo Uniform.
Okay, that's right. Thanks. And Dallas got UN9DAM and David KC9AAP. And when you check in, please wait for about a second before you talk, because this repeater has an anti-kerchunker filter on it, and what it does is it mutes the audio for about half a second to avoid kerchunkers and things like that. So any others? Alpha through Foxtrot. Okay, golf through Lima.
Whiskey 9, Lima Bravo X-ray. QTH is Noblesville, currently in Indianapolis.
And the name?
Sorry, forgot that. This is Brandon.
Yeah, I should know that anyway, but okay, thanks, Brandon. Any others? Golf through Lima.
This is Kilo Delta 9, Hotel Yankee Golf, Joe and Fishers.
KU9KUP, Joe Noblesville, let's drive it.
Okay, I've got W9LBX, Brandon in Noblesville, KD9HLG, Joe in Fishers, KD9KUP, Joe in Noblesville. Everybody's got good signals this evening. Any others? Golf through Lima.
Just want to make sure you heard KD9HYG, Joe in Fishers.
I had that down as HLG, I'm sorry. Okay, got it.
Kilo 9, Juliet Bravo Mike, oh, in Noblesville, Autumn. Excuse me, on a purple number. Horrible, no traffic.
Okay, got K9JBM, Mike. Wait a minute, is that Mike or Joe?
That would be Joe.
That's what I thought. I know who you are, so... Okay, any others? Golf through Lima. Okay, got you, Monica, W9MRP. Any others? Golf through Lima. Okay, we'll go Mike through Romeo.
November 9, Quebec Mike Lima, Andrew, Noblesville area.
KD9MAK, Carmel Robert.
KD9, Romeo Golf Charlie, Tom Fishers.
Okay, I've got Andrew, 9QML in Noblesville, and Robert, KD9MAK in Carmel, and I think it was Tom, KD9RGC in Fishers, and when Andrew was talking, there was a double, so we'll go for whomever I missed.
Kilo 9, Quebec, Lima, Alex in West Indianapolis.
Okay. K9QL, Alex, good signal. Everybody's got good signals this evening. Any others? Mike through Romeo. Sierra through Zulu.
Alpha Charlie 9, X-ray Kilo, Alex, Noblesville.
D9 Tango Charlie Lima,
Lester Base.
Kilo Delta 9, Victor India Sierra, Joe in Noblesville.
KD9, Victor Sierra Tango, Robin and Fisher.
Okay, I got Alex, AC9XK. I got Lester, TCL there in northwest side of Indy. Joe, KD9VIS. Robin, KD9VST, and I know there were a couple of doubles, so there's at least a couple that I've missed. So those that I've missed, try again.
Whiskey 9, Sierra Delta Mike, Scott Fishers.
Kilo Alpha Niner, Sierra Delta Quebec, Paul and Tom.
Whiskey 9, Sierra Tango, Gary and Fishers, handhold outdoors.
Okay, I think I mentioned I have Robin, KD9BST, but maybe not, but now I did. And then Scott, W9SDM with a good signal, KU9SDQ, Paul and Carmel. W9ST, Gary and Fishers. All the way through the alphabet. Is there anybody I've missed? Okay, this W9KD. And let's go with the announcements then. W9CZK, go ahead with your announcement.
Well, the Piglets just wrapped up this month's fox hunt. Again, our fox hunts are monthly, happening the first Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. We always start from Simon Moon Park in Westfield, and where we go from there, no one knows. But the winners, David, KC9AAP, he was working alongside a partner there. Man, I can't remember off my top of my head who he was with, but they got the first place. Second place went to a new person we have out there. It was him and his wife. Again, oh my goodness, let me pull that up here. One moment, please. There's one way again. It's my day with technology. All right, so first place, like I said, was David, and he was rolling around with Mark, KD9UIC. Second place came in with KD9YY, and he has his wife, Amber. She is also a technician, but I do not have her call sign. I'm sorry, Amber. And then after that, it was, Jeff, W9DCI, he took second place with his niece's fiance, who is also a technician. So that's the fox hunt. We're going to start doing a lot more fun things with the fox hunt. And a quick reminder, if you are interested in that sort of thing, you can come out and join us. You don't have to be a Piglet member. You could just be anyone. Heck, you don't even have to be a amateur radio operator, because all you're doing is listening. You could even hook yourself up with gear. But if you don't have gear, it's okay. Come and hang out with us. We usually work in teams. So chances are that we'll have some equipment for you, or at least someone for you to tag along with. So that's the fox hunt. Indiana CUSO party, you know, we got results back from that one. Congratulations to some of our members there, because we wanted to get another county on the map for the CUSO party. We went all the way out to the low activation of Boone County, and it worked out for us. We only had 87 contacts for the day, but guess what? We got first place for the county, and that will just tell you right there how few people are activating Boone County. So congratulations to all those people who are out there working Boone County. First place, woot woot. And finally, monthly Piglet meetings. We meet every month, third Monday of each month at 6:30 p.m. It's either going to be at Carmel Clay Library or a social event. This next month is coming up to be Mashcraft and Fishers, so come out and have a beer and enjoy some conversation. That's all I got tonight, guys. Onward.
Okay, real fine, Chris. So I didn't quite catch it. So was KD9YY working with David, or was YY and his wife the ones that came in second place with DCM here? Can you clarify, please?
Yeah, my bad about that. First place went to David, KC9AAP, and he was working in a team with Mark, KD9UIC. David has not been dethroned. He is the reigning champ, like three fox hunts going now, so someone needs to take him down. But second place was Jeff, W9DCI, and he was working with his niece's fiance. And third place was KD9YY and his wife, Amber.
Okay, I got it straight now. Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Chris about the fox hunt or QSO party? Okay, guess not. But the fox hunts are a lot of fun, really. I was going to try to do it, but I ended up out of town. Chris, can you say again where you started, and then where did you end up? Where was the fox?
It's actually a really interesting story. And before I get going, let me just say I'm getting yelled at by other piglets. We need to do the announcement for Field Day. Piglets are meeting at Cool Creek Park. Website always has the information, pigletradio.org. Now on to fox hunt. We always start our fox hunts at the nice big sledding hill at Simon Moon in Westfield. So that's where everyone congregates. We make sure the fox is on, everyone can hear it, and then bam, everyone scatters. So we went to the east northeast, and I know everyone just kind of went that direction. You kind of go with your gut on where to stop and take your bearings. I went over to Forest Park and then up to Potter's Bridge. I thought certain I was at Potter's Bridge because I just had a super strong signal and I couldn't even attenuate it. But the fox, we had two. We had a main, and then the main due to a micro fox. And the main fox was set by Scott W9SDM at Purgatory Golf Club. And from there, the micro fox was due east at a church down the road, which I blew right past. And for some reason, something goofy was going on because Derek, KD9MEQ, him and his partner, they were over in Katili Park, and even though they were miles and miles away, they were picking up that micro fox super strong, so they thought for sure that they were at where they were supposed to be, and that just led to a lot of hilarity.
Okay, thank you. Very interesting. Okay, well, final pause to see if anybody has any questions on that. Okay, so next up is Dallas, I think, at 9DAM. Okay, and that website is n9eoc.org. N9EOC. Anybody have any questions for Dallas on this?
W9ST.
ST, go ahead.
Hey, Dallas, I was just wondering, what time do you think you'll be stopping transmitting on Sunday? Are you going to go the full length? So you will not be setting up until 2 p.m. on Saturday? Okay, thanks. W9ST clear.
9CZK.
I didn't catch who that was, but go ahead.
Well, that's W9CZK. Just kind of a question slash offer for Dallas there. I'm not sure for your soldering skills if you guys are requiring people to bring their own equipment or if you'll have some provided, but if you plan on providing them, or maybe you don't have the equipment to provide, the Piglets were planning a soldering class at the Carmel Library in July, so we have 6 full stations. Happy to loan those out to you guys if they'll help you out.
Any other questions for Dallas? Okay, any other, well, you say Brandon has something to discuss?
Yep, this is W9LBX. I was going to try to drum up some more interest in that soldering class. So, Seth Wanless, KD9QEE, took care of ordering some of those antenna tuner kits. So he ordered a total of 5, and last I knew, at least one was claimed. There was some interest in another one. So there's 3, possibly 4 of those left. I think the price on those was somewhere in the mid-20s. I forget the exact number. But if you wanted to purchase one of those, we're going to walk through some soldering basics and build those kits, basically. You don't have to buy one of those kits to participate. I'm going to have some spare stuff, so I'll have some prototype boards and some miscellaneous stuff. We won't build an actual thing, but we can actually solder some stuff so you can practice soldering and desoldering. If you're interested in that kit, email Seth. His email address is seth@wanless.org. That's W-A-N-L-A-S-S. If you have any questions for me, you can look me up on QRZ. My email address is there, but I'll mention it. It's lunchbox7985@gmail.com, and just let me know. Chris, I do appreciate the offer. I think I've got at least 4 or 5 soldering irons of different types that I was planning on bringing, so far with the interest that we've had shown in this, I think we'll be all right with that, but I will keep you in mind. Any questions, I will respond to emails. Just let me know. W9LBX, back to net.
Okay. Hey, anybody have any questions on that? What was Seth's call sign? I forget.
That is KD9QEE, Quebec Echo Echo.
Okay, real fine. So, and then your email ID was lunchbox7985@gmail.com, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, anybody else have any announcements? I'll run through some rather quickly here, and these, most of them are kind of from last week, but I'll zip through them anyway. What do we got here? The Naptown Amateur Group is hosting a free technician class in June across two Saturdays, on June 17th and 24th, with free testing to follow. And I'll have a link in the net report that will take you to the information on that. And we've already talked about Field Day. Then there's the Lewis and Clark Trail on the Air. That's a spatial event station to commemorate the Lewis and Clark Trail. And that's ongoing from June 3rd to June 18th. And there's about 20 clubs in 16 states along the trail. And sponsored by Clark County, Indiana, Amateur Radio Club. If you want information on that, it's https://lcTOTA.org, and that'll be in the net report. CQ Magazine's got a DX Marathon going on. It started in January. It's going through December 31st. It's a DX Marathon. You get points for working in different countries and zones and things. If you want information on that, you go to https://dxmarathon.com. Okay, and here are the Indiana Ham Fest. June 10th is a Monroe County Ham Fest at the Monroe County Fairgrounds in Bloomington. I'll have links in the net report for that, because that's, well, here's one you could write down, https://bloomingtonradio.org. And here's one that's a little bit closer, and this is supposed to be a pretty darn good ham fest from what I hear. East Central Indiana Ham Fest in Winchester. That's going to be, that's just, what, a little bit east of Muncie or something. That's Saturday, July 29th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Randolph County 4-H Fairgrounds. Free parking, free admission. So there's some benefactor they have that's paying for the facility, so that's pretty cool. They'll have VE testing and some commercial vendors, and they've got a grand prize of an HTFT 891 HF radio, and additional prizes including an FT4XR HT and an FTM 6000, they say. I didn't know about a 6000, but anyway, dual band mobile. So best way to find out about that was just Google East Central Indiana Ham Fest. That'd be the easiest way. And for Big Ham Fest, Huntsville Ham Fest coming up in August. So we can talk more about that next month or something. But that's near the Huntsville Space Station. So if you're in the mood for a hamvention, or not a hamvention, but yeah, a hamvention of sorts. The other thing is you can go to the Space Center Museum. That's interesting. I've been there. Okay, a little closer is June 24th and 25th is the Brickyard 400 and W9IMS Spatial Event Station will be on the air. That's August 7th through August 13th. Alex, do you know anything about that? Because I think you participated in the 500.
I'm so sorry, John. What did you ask?
The Brickyard 400 IMS Spatial Event Station in August. Are you working that one also like you did the 500?
Yeah, several of us will probably be working that. I don't know the details or the dates, but if you go to their QRZ page, W9IMS, it should have everything on there. AC9XK.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, you get a really nice card, I think, on that one. So you just go to W9IMS.org for that one. That's it for my announcements. We're always looking for net suggestions, topics and things like that. And some of them that I received was they want to, you know, people want to hear more about ham radio equipment, and then they want to know about digital aspects of ham radio. They'd like to have some just casual nets where it's kind of a round table thing. They want to hear about do-it-yourself low-cost projects, either new kits that are out or something that somebody bought off eBay and maybe it was broken and it was easy to fix up and they fixed it up. And they want to hear more about fusion. So that's some of the topics that have been sent here. If you have some ideas, send an email to Alex, AC9XK at ARR. L dot, what is it, net or org, I forget. Anyway, ARRL. So this week we're going to use the topic digital aspects of ham radio. I'm going to open up with kind of a little bit of a history of digital on ham radio, and then Chris is going to tell you about the bulk of the thing. So, anyway, a feature that I think would be maybe interesting is have a tip of the week. So what I came up with anyway is, maybe I've mentioned this before, but when you announce on a repeater that you're just monitoring, when you key the mic, wait about 3 seconds before you make your announcement, and that gives time for people that are scanning for their radio to lock up on frequency, and then they'll hear you announce that you're listening to or wanting to talk with somebody. So that's the tip of the week. This W9KD. Do we have any check-ins at this point?
This is Alpha Delta 9 Kilo Tango and Kilo Delta 9 Sierra Zulu Foxtrot.
Okay, got Cam and Pat in Westfield, and there was a double, so who was the other station?
Kilo Delta 9, Yankee Yankee.
Kilo Delta 9, Yankee Yankee. I think we were talking about you. Name QTH.
Name is Sean, and I'm in Noblesville. I am very, very portable right now. Got my HT.
Okay, yeah, we were talking, I think you came in third on the Fox end, is that correct?
I would like to say that we tied for second. I'm going with tied for second, and next time we're going to be first.
Okay, sounds good. Alrighty, any other check-ins? Okay, well, we'll get going here with the program, as they say. So, this W9KD. Alright, well, to start out with, there's lots of different digital modes on ham radio. I'm just going to give kind of a quick, I guess you'd call it, history. How we are, where we are now. Of course, the original, most digital modes are based on some form of a 1 and 0, because that's what digital is, right? On a computer, it's a 1 or a 0, and on a computer, it's either you got a voltage or you don't have a voltage. I know for electrical engineers, there's tri-state logic, but we're not going to get into that. Anyway, so it's usually some sort of means of replicating a 1 and a 0. But even CW kind of has that. Now, most of the other digital modes, they accomplish the 1-0 type thing, or high and low, by shifting the tone to a higher frequency or lower frequency. And I'll get into that in a minute. But on CW, of course, it's a constant tone, because there isn't any tone. It's just the carrier. But when you think about it, there are really two different states. A short signal and a long signal, or a dit and a don. That's two different states that make up CW. So that's kind of the original basic digital radio. Then after World War II, there were a lot of these military teletype machines became available dirt cheap, and they were in good condition. And so hams started scarfing those up and were putting them on the air. And the way that would work is the radio would basically send out a solid carrier, but then when you're typing on the teletype, it'd go through kind of a little converter box, I guess you might say, and the bits, which there's 5 bits, you have to shift the frequency. So in the early days, when a lot of guys built their own transmitters, or they were all tube type and you get in there and wire things around, they would put in a diode so that they could pull in a capacitor on the oscillator, and that would shift the frequency of the carrier up, and typically it was 850 cycles. So as you're typing, you would hear two different tones, and that's the way that worked. Later on, people started, especially with the newer radios, it started getting transistorized, more difficult to diddle around with the electronics. They would just generate a tone and then run it through the microphone audio section. And when you put it on sideband, it sounds the same as a carrier being shifted 850 cycles. So in the 60s and later, people were running teletype that way. And it was nice because it didn't require as much concentration as doing CW, and it was fun watching the machines run. I had one, and it was a blast. So, but then when computers came around, that teletype stuff kind of went by the wayside real quick. And then at the Dayton Ham Fest, you'd see guys couldn't sell their teletypes; they're practically giving them away. And you see several excellent shaped teletypes sitting by the dumpster. And but as soon as home computers hit, boy, teletypes went down the tubes real quick. But they involved, you know, you had to get paper rolls, and you had a tape punch machine, and this, that, and the other. But it was fun, and it was low cost, and something different. So it was pretty popular. It's still popular today in a way. It's kind of looked as an old method, but there's still teletype contests on the air and stuff. Then there got to be a mode called PSK, or phase shift keying, PSK31, and that used a very narrow bandwidth, and that would be running, they'd generate a tone from your computer and run it through on sideband to generate the signal, although you're actually running it down in the CW portion of the band. But being real narrow banded, you could crank up the CW filters and things, and it was quite effective. I might be able to play what that sounds like just a second. Well, sound like a carrier that was like had a frequency problem. So that's the way PSK sounded. Let's see if I can show you a quick example of teletype. Here we go, just a second. There was my example of CW, but it happened to be the repeater ID. Just a second. Well, that one's not working. Okay. Let me try the other shift. Just a minute. Oh, I had these preloaded and now it's wanting to download again, so we're not going to take the time to do that. But anyway, you can hear two distinct tones. It just deet-leet-leet-leet-leet like that, and that's teletype. Then they came up with AMTOR, Amateur Teleprinting Over Radio. Now, the downside on teletype was it's kind of like CW. If there was interference or something, well then you just lost characters and there was no error correction or anything. But with AMTOR, it's kind of like teletype, but it does have error detection, so you get a cleaner signal that way. And then another one is PACTOR, which that's an evolution towards packet radio. It's kind of a combination of AMTOR and packet radio. That's what that sounds like. Then it got to be in the 1980s, packet start up on HF, but also it was real popular on VHF and UHF and this, that, and the other. And that's when all the packet bulletin boards started. And this is before the internet, or before, email, I guess I'll put it that way. So that got real popular, and there were networks worldwide, and I used to run a bulletin board, had over 100 users, and you could type out a message and send it to the bulletin board, and it could be for somewhere in Europe or wherever, and it would get there. It may take a long time, because it wasn't instantaneous like email is today, because it had to be relayed from station to station to station, but it was all automatic. During the Desert Storm, I don't know if anybody remembers, but the news outlets would say, well, there's, when Iraq was invading Kuwait, they would have, quote, messages smuggled from Kuwait. Well, what that was a ham in Kuwait sending packet messages back to a guy in Fort Wayne. And that guy would then give the messages to the government. And all the news stations were hovering around this guy's house in Fort Wayne, but they were directed by the government not to tell anybody that these were coming through ham radio, because otherwise the Iraqis would go and shoot all the hams. And they took all their equipment, but this guy hid his good equipment in the basement, had his old equipment in his living room, and they took his old equipment, but then he operated out of his basement. So that was packet days, and packet's still around. We'll talk about that in a minute, but not to near the degree it used to be. That's what packet sounds like, and if it seems like it sounds a lot like the old telephone modems, well, it is, because it's almost the same setup. So, anyway, that's kind of packet. and that's been real popular. Then there's one more I'm going to mention that I never really used, but it just really sounds different. I'll see if this one will play. So that one is called Olivia, and it had error correction, and it was real popular for a while, and it could receive extremely weak signals. But so all these that I've mentioned are things where you could carry on a conversation with somebody. You know, you could ask them what the weather is, things like that. There's still these modes around, but there's other modes that people use for DXing and this, that, and the other. There's modes on HF. There's digital voice and all that sort of thing, and that's where Chris takes over. So that's a little bit of the past with a few of these things still around, packet in particular, because APRS, or Automatic Packet Reporting System, is still very popular, and that's the one where you can see where people are on a map. With that, you can also send text messages without the internet, and it's still real popular. A lot of radios have it already built in. And then we also have a packet digi at Riverview Hospital that you can use the packet format to actually connect and send messages over the internet on email to, like, somebody that's not even on ham radio. So that anybody have any questions on this? Hey, this is W9KD. I'm going to turn it over to Chris, and he's going to tell you what's going on today. So go ahead, Chris.
Hello, this is Chris, W9CZK, and today I'm going to talk a little bit about the modern day of digital, what we're doing. That was a fantastic summary there, John. I appreciate that. I hope I can live up on the second half to what you did in the first half, but again, I'm not going to really try to go into too many details here. If you do want a lot of detail, cover this on a who knows what. Oh man, I'm probably almost a year ago now. If you go to pigletradio.org files or media page, you go down and you'll see like the net recordings. You can click on there and there's a really long presentation that I did that goes into a lot of detail about digital modes. So if this interests you, please go there and check that out. But today, just a nice high-level thing for especially any new ham radio operators out there. If you're trying to get your head around what's going on right now, hopefully this gives you a little bit of information to at least get you going to where you... So again, when you look at any of your HTs nowadays, I think this is the best place to start because we're talking on a digital repeater right now, but we're not using the digital side. We're using that analog. But you'll see on your HT where it says DV, so that little DV button, that stands for digital voice. And that's exactly what we're talking about right now. All of the things that John was talking about is all data. CW all the way through packet, it's all data. So these modern day digital modes are using digital to transmit that voice signal. The three biggest modes I think we can talk about right here, you're going to have to kind of choose one. If you want to get in the digital voice world, you got to choose one. They don't work with each other. Well, kind of. I'll get to that in a minute, but D-Star, that's the oldest of all these digital voice modes. The big players use it, ICOM, Kenwood, Flex Radio, they're all on D-Star. Then you have System Fusion, which that's what this repeater does, produced by Yaesu, uncommonly called C4FM, so if you see Charlie 4, Foxtrot, Mike, then you will see, oh my goodness, that's System Fusion, okay. Again, by Yaesu, it's an incredibly affordable system, so kudos to Yaesu for throwing that together. If you want to access digital modes, I would personally suggest find yourself probably a System Fusion radio or DMR. That's the third one I'm going to mention, DMR. It stands for Digital Mobile Radio, I believe. And what's really cool about this one is it's just open source. All the other ones are kind of proprietary, or at least started that way, but DMR has always been open, and that's why you'll see a lot of the Chinese radios. They'll all be sporting that DMR technology, which is really awesome because it makes it super affordable, and you have a whole lot of radios using it, a lot of different manufacturers. And when I said before, you kind of have to choose one mode, D-Star, System Fusion, DMR, you kind of have to, because if I have a DMR radio, I can't ping by itself this Hortonville System Fusion side. Same with D-Star. If I have D-Star, I can't ping System Fusion. But in the modern day of technology, we have these things called Raspberry Pis. You can do amazing things with them, and one of them is to take that digital signal and you could process it, and your computer, your Raspberry Pi, can spit out the other digital version. So there's even some off-the-shelf solutions for this, like ZoomSpots, ZUMSPOT. Have you looked them up? They make Raspberry Pis, and I have one of their versions that's actually just a USB dongle with an antenna hanging off it, and you basically make your computer or that little dongle a mini repeater inside your house. So if I wanted to reach out not just to the local repeater with System Fusion, I could use this to use my HT, talk to my mini repeater. It will then go through the internet, and you can talk anywhere you want on any kind of digital mode you want. So it's really cool in that regard. So if you're like, oh my goodness, I want to go to Great Britain and use a D-Star repeater, well, I have my System Fusion radio. You can use these Raspberry Pis or the Zoom Spot that I have, and you can use that System Fusion to tap in across the pond, they say, and do D-Star or DMR or any other digital mode. All right, so that's the obvious one to talk about. We're talking about digital voice because that's what we're using today, everybody. But FT8, FT4 also, you can't talk about modern digital communications without talking about FT8. You know, in the other presentation I did a while back, I kept mentioning Joe Taylor. That must be one smart dude, Mr. Joe Taylor, because he came out with so many different low-signal digital modes. It's mind-boggling. Anything from just talking to people across town to meteor scatter, bouncing your signal off the moon, off of meteors, you name it, that guy has thought, golly, how can I make this better? And FT8 is one of his brainchildren. WSJTX, that's Whiskey Sierra Juliet Tango dash X-Ray. WSJTX is kind of a one-stop shop for a program that does modern digital modes. Not only does it do FT8 and FT4, which is the same thing, it just uses a shorter cycle, but it has all kinds of other things like Whisper. It also has, I can't remember all of the names of them. There's like probably 12 different low signal digital modes that it does, and it's just phenomenal. So if you're looking to get into digital mode, WSJTX is a really awesome program to go with. It's kind of also an open source programming bed that it has. Many other programs also do FT8 nowadays, so I know like there's even a logging program, DX Dozer. They have FT8 built into it. You know, Ham Radio Deluxe, they do not have FT8 or FT4 built into it, but they do have all the old modes. So when John was talking about Olivia, Hell Schreiber, like all these weird, obscure PSK, you know, even Art Gritty they have on Ham Radio Deluxe, so that's a cool one. I think they go by DM80, Digital Master 80 is like the sub program from Ham Radio Deluxe. But again, if you want to get into those older programs, Ham Radio Deluxe is really awesome for that. But yeah, WSJTX or many, many others is good for the low signal. And you heard me mention Whisper. That's an acronym, WSPR, Whiskey Sierra, Papa Romeo, also made by Joe Taylor, as I said before. It's kind of designed for shack experimentation and really just reaching out on incredibly low power throughout the world. So you see this in WSGTX. You can experiment to see how well your different radios propagate. It's probably my favorite way to use Whisper. So if I have multiple antennas in my attic, which I do, I can say, well, man, I wonder how this one's performing compared to the other one. So you could go to Whisper, you can send out these signals, and like Whisper is awesome for even like milliwatts of power. So you can transmit on an antenna, switch to the other antenna, transmit again, and there's programs online. You can just go to websites, and it'll track you, and you could see how well each one of those signals got out across the globe, and you'll be quite impressed how little power you need in order to communicate. Whisper and also APRS, as John mentioned, they're both really popular to use for weather balloons, or I should say ham radio balloons. If the United States government is not shooting them down with Sidewinder missiles, you can use just some solar panels to power very low wattage radios on Whisper and go across the world and see how your signal is doing. So Whisper is just a really cool digital mode. John already talked about it, but APR you can set it up, it'll automatically ping all the people around you. Anyone could hear you, they could see where you at. You could send text messages to each other, all kinds of really cool things. And I believe, if I got it right, you have APRS, and some radio brands use DPRS, which is very similar, but rather than sending it directly from user to user, in order to use DPRS, you need to actually go through a repeater. So not quite as useful in the world of ham radio as far as I'm concerned, but again, it's the same technology, just done in a different way from a different manufacturer. And one thing I did not talk before on that previous presentation is SSTV, and it's very interesting to me because this is something to where you think, oh, digital mode, you know, I need my computer and everything else. Well, here is a mode that is analog. It's an analog signal with the SSTV, but you certainly need something to help you decode that.
Good evening. The time is...
So SSTV, you know, it's based off the same technology as fax machines. When you have a fax machine, it kind of scans it, as we all know, and it just sends out its signal. I don't know if I did the deedle-deedle enough credit, but with the fax... Every time... it's a black and gray. Every time you have a black or a gray that comes across that scanner when it wants to transmit it, the signal simply gets stronger. So the stronger the signal is at that point, the receiving end knows that's where it's going to get darker. And it's pretty much the same thing that SSTV uses, the same methodology, except for whenever we're talking about modern broadcast TV, we're talking many, many frames per second, so it's super quick. Obviously, that's fast TV. We're talking here slow scan TV. So if you ever find a slow scan station that's sending out signals, it's going to sound like aliens. It's going to sound like all these digital modes, but technically it's an analog mode because it's just shifting itself around. It has a continuous signal. It's not the on-off that separates a digital from analog. Rambling on here, going back, I usually have a somewhat of a script that I follow, but today is not the case. So much while YouTube, I don't want 1 month free. We're talking about the digital voice. You kind of wonder yourself, well, I can never hear what it actually sounds like because you're either listening to it or your radio probably just tunes it out with a squelch and you can't even hear it. So this is what DMR sounds like. All right, as you can tell, that's not very pleasant to listen to. Not pleasant at all. So hopefully you have a DMR radio, and then you can listen and see what they're even saying there. Let's see if I can pull up next mode. I guess moving on, the next one I talked about was FT8. So if you haven't heard of FT8, by golly, scroll down on your radio to like 14074 and you will hear all kinds of this. Okay, that's enough of that. You know, sometimes when you're working late nights in the shack and just kind of sitting there, it's kind of soothing almost to have FT8 playing in the background, because it's 15-second intervals on, off, all the time, and lets you know that people are out there. It kind of makes you feel good. Probably the one I'm most excited to talk about is that slow scan TV, and it's not even a digital mode, but you certainly need equipment in order to decode it, because obviously you don't listen to it and think to yourself, oh, there's the next line, oh, I'm going to paint the picture in my head. I can't do that. I don't know of any other human who can, but let me pull that one up where you can hear what it sounds like, because it's actually pretty cool when you start repeating all of these patterns, because each frequency has its own color. So you will hear each individual line as it starts spitting out from the top of the screen all the way to the bottom. And usually there's a syncing pulse, it's called. I believe that's what it's called. It's what keeps it on track. So the program will listen for the sync. And every time you hear a new line that starts, you will hear a little tick, 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 or maybe a slight beep. So that's the syncing pulse. Let me pull this up here and see if you can hear it. Actually heard on the air the other day, and it kind of made me think for a hot second. I actually sent it out to a couple of friends. I said, hey guys, what is this, aliens or SSTV? Because it wasn't on a normal SSTV frequency, but this is what I got. Interesting, because slow scan TV does just have this rhythm to it. Like that one, you even just hear the bup, 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 bup. It's just interesting. And then, like I said, you need some computer in order to decode that. So, let's see, MMSTV, that's Mike, SSTV. You know, a really old program. It hasn't been updated, I want to say, since like 2005 or something. I mean, when you use this program, you'll be like, oh my goodness, this is an old program, but you know what? You can't argue with it because it works, and it works really well. Your computer will listen to that, and you'll see as the signal comes in, start decoding. But the really interesting thing is nowadays, if you want to just have some fun on your phone rather than worrying about cat connection and everything else with your computer, you have apps. So there's one that I just have on my phone called SSTV. I think it's by Black Cat. So again, like all you need to do in order to decode is just identify, like, oh man, I heard that SSTV signal, so just pull out your phone, turn on the app, and the phone will start listening to you, and you'll see the SSTV just start decoding on the screen of your phone. And what's really interesting, if you want to send out something back, of course, again, it's just analog, so you send it just like you normally would. Like right here, it would be FM or upper sideband if you're on like 20 meters, lower if you're on 40, whatever. But yeah, you could just pick a photo from your phone, and the app on your phone will just start playing it back. So the quality is not going to be as good as if you were plugged directly into the radio, right? There's a little bit of interference, but you could totally just start sending and receiving SSTV through your phone and a radio, or even an HT, which is pretty cool. And I guess the one other thing to probably mention about this is SSTV, you know, not like a digital mode. Digital modes, they're there, the signal keeps getting weaker, they're still there, but as soon as it gets to a point where it's too weak, then boop, signal's gone. So with analog, The same thing as it always has been. Yeah, if we all grew up in the antenna age, when you have a TV where you're out on the fringes of the reception range, you move around the rabbit ears and you have a lot of snow on your screen. Well, that's the same thing you have with SSTV. When you start having poor conditions, you're going to have a degraded picture that comes across. Really cool examples of SSTV are like the International Space Station. You know, they do SSTV a lot, especially if events that they have going on. So every time the ISS will pass over, it will be doing some SSTV, or maybe they're doing voice or other things, but the SSTV for pictures coming from this space station is pretty cool. There's other things you can do. If you're in the SSTV world, you know, Derek, KD9MEQ, he turned me on to the thought that you can pick up the images coming from weather satellites. So you can see the live images from weather satellites as they're transmitting back to Earth, which is, again, pretty cool. And even though this is not a digital mode, I just think that it's really awesome. We totally are using technology here, but it's really fun and interesting. The Piglets, we're working with the N9 EOC trustee, John. We're going to try to figure out the day and time that we could throw together another net, but we're going to start doing SSTV net, you know, so everyone just quickly checks in and we just have an order so we could go from person to person and we can share pictures, have conversations, laugh, maybe share some jokes, who really knows. But yeah, keep an eyeball out for that because we're going to try to put together a SSTV net, which will be a really cool way for all of us to interact with each other on another level. I feel like I've been droning on here. I didn't have a script or anything to read from, so I'm just kind of talking, and hopefully I went over with enough information, or maybe not enough. I don't know. Do you guys have any questions about anything out there?
Question.
Go ahead, question.
Yeah, Chris, so if you get in one of these modes that you're talking about, you get really interested in it and wound up about it, how do you find out how to do it? Live on YouTube, KD9MAK.
Man, YouTube. What would we do in the world without YouTube? Before you go to YouTube, I would try to go and ask around the community, see if there's anyone who knows about it, because that's by far the best way to learn, because you can interact and ask questions. But if you don't want to talk to people, or you don't feel like you can, you know, YouTube is a phenomenal source. Googling will just find you 10,000 things, but there's a lot of really good people out there, like Hosh Nasi. As much as I dislike the guy personally, he has a good channel. There's a lot of stuff that's yeah. But, what's the other guy? Maybe someone else wants to chime up, Ham Radio 2.0. What's his name? I don't remember. So there's another good YouTuber. So between Ham Radio Crash Course and Ham Radio 2.0, I'm certain that those guys will direct you on how to get going with some digital modes.
9ST question.
9ST, shoot, Gary.
You mentioned using the, Echolink and those things to talk with, like ERM, for instance, to talk with other countries. Is there a, do we need to check some place to see if we're allowed to transmit to those countries? Or does whoever is running those have some agreement that anybody on the network can transmit through them into those other countries?
Well, that's a phenomenal question. Yeah, I guess there's a whole lot of legalities. You know, frankly, I have the capability with my Zoom spot because I thought it was really cool when I bought it at Hamvention 3 years ago, but I'll be honest and say I only busted this out and used it about 4 times or so, and I was kind of like, oh, that's interesting. It's a cool gadget, and I don't use it very much. I know KD9MAK, Robert, he echo links around a lot. He goes all over the place. But yeah, it's a phenomenal question you have. Like, golly gee, I know, like, if I were literally standing in Ethiopia, I know I do not have the credentials to use my United States amateur radio license over there. So it's really curious to start thinking, oh man, like I'm transmitting on their repeaters. Oh, you know, so that's a legal question, probably better suited for someone at the ARRL rather than W9CZK, you know what I mean?
know the answer to that since you set up IRLT?
KD9MAK, you out there, Robert? I got a question for you.
Yeah, I'm listening. The general rule is that you can, if you can make contact in another country, you're more than welcome to discuss normal ham conversation. You don't want to.
Robert has kept us waiting in suspense there. I think what the point he was trying to get to was keep it pleasant. You don't want to talk politics. Talking politics or anything like that is probably a no-no and could be a big penalty for you. So yeah, W9ST, fantastic question. I have to look into it more myself because I do find that quite curious. Any other questions out there about digital modes?
W9KD.
W9KD, go ahead.
Yeah, can you explain why in an FT8 that people are using for DXing a lot, you know, getting their DXCC awards and all of that sort of thing. Can you explain why that is such a popular mode for that?
When you changed the word to popular, I actually thought you were going to say controversial, because that's exactly what it is. A lot of the old timers are like, oh, that's not ham radio, but it is. I'm sorry, guys. Oh, my goodness. Big question. So, ST8 got super popular because, remember we talked, Joe Taylor, that guy, he loves bouncing radio signals off of things, and he loves getting back very, very weak signals. WS, in the name of the program, stands for weak signal. Joe Taylor, weak signal Joe Taylor, that's his program, and that's why it's so good for DXing. You know, I got into it at the low of the sunspot cycle, so you don't have really good propagation going around the Earth. But, you know, you can hop on to WSJTX, you can transmit FT4 or FT8, and you can get that contact across the globe with a very, very low signal. So if you're listening to that, your ear would not be able to identify the signal, but it's below the noise floor. Your computer has the power to listen to that signal and process it in ways that we just simply can't. So where there is no way that you can even get a voice and likely not even a CW contact, this program will be able to pull that out. So again, that's why so many people are getting their DXCC awards, you know, like getting all these DX contacts. It's because it's easier than ever to hop on the bands and make solid contacts. I guess it's worth noting that FT8, you know, it's not a conversational mode. Whenever you're using FT8, it's just going to be signal. It's going to say, hey, this is Chris, W9CZK, for identification purposes. Yeah, I'm connecting with W9KD. Hey, okay, I hear you. Your signal's -8. Your signal's 20 over. Fantastic. 73s. Like, it's literally all it says. This is me. This is your signal. This is my signal. Goodbye. Very short, very sweet. It's not conversational at all. So that's why it's very useful. But, of course, hams being hams, they try to make things better. They came out with a program with the same substructure, and it's JS8 call. And this is a different program entirely. It's not done by Joe Taylor. It's other people who have built off his work. But it then allows you not just to have a simple exchange, but now it opens up, I guess the best way to describe it is a chat room. So with JS8 call, you then can log in on this program, and it processes the digital signals coming.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout, cancel.
Hey, John, were you able to catch the last?
Say again?
Yeah, did that sufficiently answer your question?
Oh, yeah. You timed the repeater out, but I think you're pretty much done anyway. And just to kind of clarify for people why there seems to be a controversial part of FT8 is that it's all automatic, you know, so it's like Chris just said that you're not carrying on a conversation. So some hams say, well, that's not real ham radio. Well, yes, it is. I mean, if your objective is to see what kind of connectivity your radio has, well, it serves that purpose. And there's a wide diversity of hams. There are hams, especially years ago when it was easy to build your own equipment, they would design something, an elaborate design, build it, get it going, and then they're done. They wouldn't talk on it much, talk on it just long enough to see if it works, and then they'd sell it and build something else. And there's other people that enjoy other aspects of the hobby. So, FT8 is definitely a okay mode, and it serves its purpose. Anybody else have questions for Chris?
Go ahead. Yeah, you have a fantastic point there, Dallas. Antennas and things, you'll usually notice they have a 100-watt maximum, and then they'll say in fine print below it, 30 watts on CW and FT8.
Comment.
Okay, do we have any more questions for the Peanut Gallery?
Comment.
No, go ahead, MAK.
KD9 MAK. The interesting thing I found with FT8, going back to John's statement, was you can make quite a few contacts pretty quickly if it's up and cooking. But on days, nights especially, when there is nobody on the radio, you can find people out there on FT8 to make contacts with. I got timed out on my side, KD9 MAK.
Yeah, I can only imagine how many times I timed out that repeater. I like to talk. Last call for questions. Last call for questions. Okay, this is W9CZK. Thanks for listening to me drone on. I'm going to throw it back to the net. Back to you, John.
Okay, thank you very much, Chris. Fantastic presentation. So I've learned a lot there, too. So very interesting. Let me check, see if we have any late check-ins.
Kilo Delta 9, Uniform Yankee Charlie.
And name and QTH.
Mark, and I'm in Fishers.
59, Lima Mike Romeo, Larry, Northwest Nobleville.
Okay, I got Mark and Fishers, KD9 UIC, and Larry in Noblesville, W9 LMR. Any other late check-ins? Hey, this is W9 KD. We'll go to the buy-sell-swap section of the net. And does anybody have anything they're wanting to sell, buy, or swap?
W9LMR.
LMR, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I've got my ICOM 725 on the table for anyone who's interested, and they can contact me at LREIHER at Comcast.net, and we can chat about it and work it out.
Okay, you want to give your email ID again a little bit slower so people can write that down?
Yeah, sorry about that. I always bitch about that when people talk too fast. LREIHER at Comcast.net. Thank you.
Real fine. Anybody have any questions for Larry on that? Any others for buy, sell, swap? Okay, well, I think that's about it. Good net this evening. Next week, it looks like it's going to be kind of a roundtable thing, because that's one of the things that had been requested. So we'll find out what we're going to talk about next week. So anyway, oh, one comment, the FT8. As Chris mentioned, is really good for super weak signals, and I've heard that a lot of the moon bounce guys are using that now for moon bounce contacts. Anyway, one last listen for any comments or late check-ins.
Comment from W9CZK.
CZK, go ahead.
One final thing on FT8. It is a low signal mode. You'll hear a lot of people say that it's a low power mode. Typically, just like anything in ham radio, you want to use as little power as possible, but I want to make that distinction. It is a low signal mode, not low power. So if you can handle it, if your radio can handle it, go ahead and send a kilowatt out there, but I'm sure you're not going to be able to do that on your radio.
Yep, for sure. Okay, anything else for the net? Okie doke. Well, we'll catch y'all on the Sunday night net, 8 o'clock on 44395 and 14517, PL tone 77 hertz. That's the Noblesville repeater. And then we'll listen for you again here next week on this repeater. So thanks a lot, and happy hamming. W9KD clear.